This is the Aston Martin Heritage Podcast with Gary Taylor.
Here at the Aston Martin Owners Club Festival, I have no other than
Douglas Alderson.
Hello, Douglas. How are you doing? You've parked all the cars now. How's it going?
Well, I haven't. I've helped directed, and there's a great team that have parked the cars from the Trust and the club. So, but we're all parked up, hopefully.
It's a very impressive display. You must be pleased with this.
It is. It's amazing display of cars, and it's nice to see that there is a good mix of colours as well. We have some very colourful Vanquishes. So, yeah, it's great. And we've also got a timeline as well.
So all the Vanquish are in front of the main entrance, and you split them in two. So we've got Generation 1 to the left. Quite a few of those, isn't there?
There are. I mean, it is obviously 25 years of Generation 1, so we did anticipate quite a few. But yeah, there is, I haven't counted them, but yeah, there is a good selection of Generation 1 cars, and we've also got some Generation 1s parked up there as well as part of a display.
All right, and we've got the Generation 2 to the right of us. That's, always look very impressive, don't they?
They do. They are certainly a leading car for Aston Martin, leading GT car. And obviously, we've hooked out the Volantes as well. Yeah. I think it was a nice idea.
I see Aston Martin Works have here. They've brought a few cars along. Is there a Gen 3 somewhere?
Yeah, we Works have brought a Gen 3, and there's a Gen 3 that we have a lineup of the three generation of Vanquish. There's a Gen 3 at the end of there, and there's another Gen 3 right as you drove in, which hopefully you were seeing unless it was here after you arrived. But yeah, so we've got three Gen 3s.
You must be very pleased. So your job is done now, so you can go around drinking champagne and lording it up, right?
Not quite. So next we have a Q&A session with Eric Betts.
Yep.
And then after that, Steve Waddingham and I are going to do a bit of a wander around and talk about cars. So stay tuned for that.
That'd be marvellous. All right. Thanks, Douglas. Go and chill out, grab a glass or something, and starts again in about half hour.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Douglas. Thanks, mate.
Welcome to the festival, and thank you very much for coming. This is a joint venture with both the Trust and the club. So with me, we've got Eric Betts. So Eric Betts was the CEO from 2000 to 2014. So during that period, V12 Vanquish, the first generation Vanquish, that was launched. And then Eric Sensor for the second generation Vanquish, or Gen 2, that Vanquish was then released in 2012. And correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but so the V12 Vanquish, the first generation, that first appeared at the 1998 Geneva Motor Show, but then it was more Project Vantage. And when the car was released, it was kind of cutting edge change for Aston Martin, because previously it was more square section chassis. And then we then moved on to carbon fiber and aluminium extrusions, which was quite a change from the car, the way Aston Martin would design the cars. And the car, as you probably all know, was designed by Ian Callan. The V12 Vanquish, there were about 2,500 produced. I should have checked, but I'm going to ask you, Eric, how many Gaisman Vanquishes were produced? Do you remember?
You mean from the first generation?
Yes, the first generation,
2,559 or something like this.
Yeah.
Basically, around in 70 years, 30 cars per month sold or built and sold.
Right.
Which means that every dealer, and we had about 80 dealers at this time, 80, 90 dealers, had in a quarter one car of this car sold. So it's very exclusive.
Yes,
it's very special, and basically it's all about exclusivity with Aston Martin, so it's fine.
It is. But the actual Gaisman cars, and perhaps I'll share later on, but the number of Gaisman Vanquishes takes over the number of V12 Vanquishes, and that grew.
So I must say I have the figure of the Gaisman Vanquishes of these 2012 Vanquishes. I have not.
Okay.
I would have it in my computer, because part of my brain is in the computer. But I can tell you that we launched this second generation. The press launch was in Palm Springs in California, and it was one of my greatest driving experiences driving this Vanquish from Palm Springs up the hills to the desert in unbelievable roads, no trees. You can see as far as you could look, no traffic, no police, no nothing. So finish a set of tires because of the hit they are from. So this was one of the best driving experiences I ever had.
At the time of you becoming the CEO, the Vanquish or Project Vanquish had been kind of in Aston Martin for, I suppose, two years as a development. So you weren't instrumental in it, but obviously you then took it on and led it to its launch. So was there much involvement that you had?
I had no involvement before I joined. I think most of you know the story, but when I was asked if I would run Aston Martin, I had another job in a great company. But because I was fascinated from the brand and the potential to develop this brand further to a global visible brand, I accepted this offer, even if I had before not driven a car or touched a car, because I was not impressed by the details, by the technical side, and so on. So, nevertheless, I was fascinated by the brand, and this is one of the important things about us, that our brand is something very special, that it's based on the people who love this car. And I am today, I'm very impressed about the turn up here. It's wonderful.
And I think when you first kind of looked at the car, I think that there were certain things that you tweaked. And so we had Aston Martin Heritage Trust dinner last night with Ian Minas, who was the project engineer, discussing the car. And one of the things that he mentioned was that the vents on the car, the internal vents for the air conditioning, were going to come from, was that a Ford car? I think, KA?
Yeah, Ian, of course, he knows much, much more details, but where I come from, BMW and from Porsche, and I was, of course, involved and have seen how cars developed from the concept to prototypes to this, to the press launch. And when I saw the car after I arrived in 2000, it has, in my understanding, the best case, a prototype quality, a prototype stage in areas from the transmission, from the engine, and I'm not talking about the shape, the design outside. I think the car is much more described by the bodywork, by the bolted aluminum, by the suspension, by a 12-cylinder engine, and all of those things. This is the key. And then have a light over this another thing.
Yes.
So, but I felt that the car is absolutely not ready to be launched in August 2000. Right. And it when I stopped it, I had a few people like Harry Carlton, who was then the press officer, who had nearly a heart attack by this. But at the very end, after he overcame this and understood why it is, he made an absolutely perfect job to talk with the public, with the press, why this is needed and why we need the time to get the quality right, because Aston Martin is about quality and reliability. And at least in the cars, which were fully under my era, the basic thing is quality and reliability. And then comes all the other things.
It does. Right. So I'm not going to get a detailed discussion about how the car is made, but please do look at Steve Waddingham's video of these two cars, because he does go into minutiae detail of exactly how it was constructed. From my understanding, the Gaydon car is more of a kind of a factory aluminium extrusions bonded together, but then the V12 Vanquish is aluminium extrusions that are then bonded together, but it's more hand bonded, so it's kind of a handcrafted car, but the construction ideas are very similar between the two. So originally the construction was partly by Lotus, which I think some people may not know.
The thing was that at this time they had this idea of a concept in the technology car. They felt that the engineering group in Aston Martin is not strong enough or good enough to develop such a car. And this is why they have asked basically for the whole thing, Lotus to do it. But then Lotus is a great company, great engineering company. But whatever you are great, you need leadership. You need somebody who tells and make decisions in the right thing. So when in 2000 with Lotus, there were lots of things which just didn't work right. And then I asked Ian Minnatz at this time, Ian, would you be strong enough? Do you think you can do with Aston Martin engineer, you can take over and you can finish the work, which was done there with very clear understanding of the quality and the performance and so on and so on. And Ian Minnatz at this time, he said, yes, we can do. And this was the start of, let me say, the engineering excellence within Aston Martin, which also led us to the future. This is a V8 platform, volume. We have on this base of the platform, we made up to 7,200 cars a year. So this is the big difference.
Yeah.
Technology is nice, but it also needs to be able to be produced.
Yeah. Works at Newport Pagnell and now started to have adapted some of the V12 Vanquishes to a manual gear shift.
This was caused by the problems we did have with the transmission and with the way how people would drive it and the problem it would cause them. I myself, when the car was properly set up, I loved this car, the shifting the car, because you didn't need pedals. You could shift the gears with the right foot, with the gas pedal. So a short shock shifted shifted the gear down, and it stayed in the second or third gear where you were. And then you could also put it back and shift it up with a different movement in the pedal. So I could drive here the country roads. I did never make any changes my hand. I just made it by first. And this was something very special you could not have in any other car.
I've never driven a V12 Vanquish, so I don't know what it's like. But certainly the people that I kind of spoke to, that if you, and I think Les Globe, who was the performance expert, he actually wrote a guide explaining how it works. Subsequently, he's done a YouTube video that explains how to drive the car. And certainly some people that were there last night were going, well, I really didn't buy one because I didn't understand how to drive it. So how to drive the car or change gears. So I think it is a very different car to drive. And I'm sure everybody here that has a V12 Vanquish will obviously understands how it works, but it's not quite the same as it's not a manual car, it's not automatic. It is something very, very different. So the V12 Vanquish appeared in Bond Die Another Day. We have the Jaguar around the corner with a Vanquish, which he may have the guns on the bonnet for a bit of fun. But that must have been, I don't know whether that was in your time or before your time, but that must have been a bit of a coup because...
This was in my time, and we had first... Barbara Broccoli coming over to Newport Pagnell to see the cars and driving her around the roundabouts in Newport Pagnell, which I always love to go straight and fast through the roundabouts. And I have taken yesterday out a letter which she wrote me when I invited her for a lunch. She said, okay, she's in America, but she can tell me she would never, ever be a passenger in the car I'm driving.
Okay, fair enough. The reason, part of the reason it was such a coup is because the two Bond films before that didn't have an Aston Martin in. So to kind of get Aston Martin's back, yeah, back in Bond films.
I think this is very important. Bond is representing the best of British, and he represents, if it's all the products which are there beside the Walter PP car from Germany and the watches from Switzerland, but he represents the best of British. So if it's a car, the car needs to represent something the best.
Yes.
And in the time before, there was not a car from Aston Martin which could have the value of being best.
Right.
And the Vanquish again has brought this, and we have communicated this, and this is why the Vanquish is in the Bond film.
So the V12 Vanquish, that stopped production in 2007, and the Gaydon Vanquish second generation started in 2012. And that was designed by Merrick Reichman. And I think at that stage, the kind of the Gaydon factory was up and running doing DV9s and presumably some Vantages as well. And presumably was the kind of change because we then had the VH platform in place. It was time to move to a newer format. So that's why the V12 stopped.
The VH platform was a concept which allowed a company with small volume, what we have with a target of 6,000-7,000 at this time, 7,500, to be profitable and have different variants, which are a different character, but they are all Aston Martins. Yeah. And because an Aston Martin, besides a Signet, had to look and feel like an Aston Martin. If you touch it, if you hit the brake, and all of those things, they have to have a special character and are not different.
So and then the Gaydon Vanquish, because it was on the VH platform, presume that then kind of enabled you to, or enabled Aston Martin to release the Vanquish Volante, which we never had with the V12 Vanquish. You then managed, or the Aston Martin then managed to have another link up with Zagato and produced the Zagato Vanquishes, which I think there's two around there, maybe three.
Yeah, no, Zagato didn't start with this. Zagato with Aston Martin after the V8 Zagato was very early in this. It's wonderful limited car, which is very highly respected today. But okay, in 2001, in 2002, we needed visibility. Visibility in the press. We couldn't have this with the DB7. We couldn't have this with a Vanquish yet. So I decided to make a special variant, a DB7 Zagato. And of I approached Andrea Zagato if we can have his license, because the design, it is not made by Zagato. It is made in Aston Martin. It's made in-house. But we had something for the 99 cars. We had the press was on the main pages, and we had a lot of coverage and a lot of marketing. And because the short overhang of the DB7 Zagato was not legal in America, we had to make the American Roadster without a roof and just the normal back. And so we had, so this was the start of the Zagato.
We have the first generation, the second generation, and then we have a third generation there. And then a bit further around, we've got all three kind of lined up. The car is kind of still the kind of lead car for Aston Martin. I think the new Vanquish looks amazing. It's a good model for Aston Martin, the new Vanquish. So does anybody have any questions? Do you want to? Oh, there we go. There's one there. So I'll go and bring it back to you.
Hello, Dr. Fess. Who officially takes credit for the name of Vanquish?
Quick question.
Who takes credit in? I am pretty sure that we had a brainstorming where we put lots of things together, and we had with Bill Donnelly in the marketing and sales, we have a marketing director, and I think he was very creative in the different ways to do this. So it's probably, if you take the credit, I may have decided we use it, but I have probably not suggested to do it. So this comes from somewhere else.
Yes, kind of a team effort, I guess. Any other questions?
So I've heard a story that the Morning Frost colour from Aston originated from yourself, to do with a glacier white Aston, you know, Vantage you had. Is that correct?
Yes, I think this is somehow a nice story. In Gaydon, at some stage, we have a cold night, and cars are freezing. And so there was a car there. It was totally frozen with a thin layer of ice. And it looked so great that I said to the design, make me a morning frost, because it was in the morning frost. And this is how morning frost came to life. great salon.
So, anything else here?
Last thing is, I always said from the very beginning that history without a future is just history. But with the future we have given to Aston Martin, this vanquish has become heritage. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Eric.
So, Gary, I'm at the festival, stood over near the first generation vanquishes at the moment, and taking a little bit of a trip back through time, looking at these cars, and actually looking at some of them and remembering the actual cars when they were being built originally. So it's always lovely to get reunited with a car that you remember being built in the first place. So, yeah, what a lovely selection. Just looking at the number plates, a lot of these cars would have had number plate changes over the years. But some of them, by the looks of it, are still probably on their original plates. And you can kind of almost tell which part of the UK they may have been first delivered in. Just looking at David Such's car over here, a car that's always sort of been well known to me. I remember when this car was being ordered by the first owner, and I spent several hours with him while he chose the colour scheme, and then he came back and saw it being made. So I've known this car literally from when it was on a piece of paper, and it's still going strong today. It's there with its Union Jack wrap on the roof. And then next to that looks like a original, maybe a Sky Silver. Sky Silver was the original kind of launch colour for Vanquish. Later on, that was changed over to the colour we now know as Tungsten, which was really kind of formulated for the car for the James Bond film, and became our sort of best-selling silver paint of all time, really. Named by Ian Minard, so I remember we had the Bond cars going along the production line, and they had written on them Bond Silver. People wanted to order the colour. Of course, we couldn't call it Bond Silver. So went in to see Ian one day, and Ian said, OK, well, we'll have to give it a name. We'll call it Tungsten Silver. And that was that. Named it on the spot. No big committee meetings or anything. Just straight in and named it. I'm going to go and gate crash a bunch of people I know in front of me. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Ali. Oh, Ali's retreating now. He's seen the microphone. And we've got Ben over here as well and his other half. And we're all gathered round. Nick, tell us about your car, Nick.
It's a Vanquish S, a 2006 to one, and then bought it a few weeks ago. And just experiencing for the first time the original Mark One Vanquish.
It's brilliant. So some listeners might recognise Nick's voice. Nick's appeared on one or two of these before. Famous for having his cosmopolitan yellow V12 Vantage. Is it an AMR or an S? It's an AMR, isn't it? Of course it is. A one-off car. And then over the last few years, as I've got to know Nick, he's been threatening to buy something else as well. And now you've got it, Nick. So tell us what you think about the car so far.
Well, obviously, like everybody, these cars have a reputation that, you know, they're perhaps not the most easy to live with, perhaps. And I thought, well, you know what? I love them anyway. There's a backstory why I wanted one of these. Years ago, I experienced one when I was like in my late 20s, and it sort of stays with you forever. This is why I got into Aston Martin's, this model of car. And I thought, yeah, I know they can be a pain if they're not used or looked after. So I wasn't actually looking for one. A friend was looking for one, and I gave him a link to this one, and it's been privately sold. And then I looked at it again after I gave the link to my friend and said, would you mind if I bought it instead? And he went, oh yeah, go on then. So I looked at it, and it's got a fantastic history. It has been used, it's been really well maintained, and I thought, I'll take a risk and I'll buy privately this one. And I've done 400 miles in it so far, which is about the same as the last 4 years it's done combined. It's just utterly brilliant, and it is much more modern feeling than you'd imagine. The gearbox, I joke not, is about as fast as a 2018 AMR Vantage that I've got, which is also a sports shift. People talk about these gearboxes being slow because of Clarkson and all that sort of thing. They aren't. They are absolutely sublime. And that's what I'm really surprised about the most, how fantastic it is. And also, for example, you go up to a roundabout, you drop it down into second or into first. It goes so smoothly into those gears, whereas in the later AMR, it'll be a bit reluctant sometimes to drop down gears towards a roundabout, relatively. This one is like silky smooth, and then it pulls away beautifully. reverse is absolutely no problem whatsoever. So the main thing, which was always the gearbox, I think is actually the character of the car. So wholly recommend one. I genuinely do. Now, I've been doing 400 miles in it. So far, touch wood, absolutely proving mechanically perfect. I'm going to look after it, get it shot blasted, get it ice blasted underneath and denatrolled, so get a whole load of corrosion protection going on to it. And a few other little things I'm going to get done, which is more cosmetic, like the wheel refurbishment. But that's it. I mean, just look after it. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, that's a great description. Thanks for that, Nick. They're just fabulous, aren't they? I just love these cars. I've loved them right away from day one. And I'm looking forward to taking you up on the offer of having a go in this, because I haven't driven a Vanquish for a while, so it would be good to get behind the wheel of one again. But yeah, thanks ever so much, Nick, and best of luck with it. Enjoy the car, and enjoy vanquishing.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Take care, Nick. Cheers.
Growing the passion, sharing the stories. The Aston Martin Heritage Podcast.
Tony?
No, I don't know, mate.
He does know Tony. Look, this beautiful
Do I know Tony?
S. Tony Hall's beautiful Vanquish S. He was just complimenting me on the fact that my cleaning and detailing has made it look so beautiful for all these years. It's the longest time he's had an Aston, you know.
Is it?
Nearly 10 years?
8 years.
8 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
It keeps changing. But
now,
he can't find the right
car. You're talking away and people are saying, who's this talking?
My name is Winston.
Hello, Winston.
I'm from Area 7.
You are Area 7. We've known each other a long time, haven't we?
A very long time, yeah.
That's good. So what have you come in today?
My baby Vantage.
Yeah.
I have a Pro Drive Vantage, which it's only 4.3, but it's quite...
They're nice cars, though, aren't
quite
they?
Quite nippy. Quite nippy little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought I'd spend a day with my son.
Yeah.
Who is, obviously...
He's a handsome guy, isn't he?
Well, he gets it off the old fella, doesn't he? You know, he gets it.
Well, I'll wait to see if I find a wife and see.
He's Harvey works at Aston Martin.
Your son, Harvey?
Yeah, development driver on the new cars.
All right, so I've lost interest in you. Hello, Harvey.
Hello, hi, nice to meet you.
Was that so you're a development driver at Aston Martin?
Yeah, I work in ESP calibration at Aston Martin, yeah.
How long have you been there?
Over 14 years now.
Wow, that's a time. What did you do when you first started there?
So I started on the graduate scheme and then moved around a few different departments.
Yeah.
So I think first proper job was working in NVH, so noise, vibration and harshness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great news. So what's involved? What's a typical week involved for you?
Typically, it's a lot of test and development work and preparing to go on various test trips and whatnot across Europe.
Travel quite a bit then, eh?
Yeah, so travelling quite a lot. So next week, going to do some wet handling development work with a few new projects. Which would be fun.
What's the new project?
Well, it's all top secret. I couldn't possibly tell you.
You can tell me. No one's listening.
I'll get sacked if I leak any information.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go back to your father.
Yes, yeah.
All right.
No,
okay. Thanks for your time. Well, I found some more interest in you. So we see each other at quite a few events. Because you're a big Aston enthusiast, aren't you?
Well, I am. Yeah, I like. I've had one since...
You had a V8 Vantage, didn't you?
I've still got one.
You still got it?
Yeah, I got a red 74 Vantage spec car.
Yeah.
So it is actually about 400 and something brake. It's got Vantage cams, Vantage carburetors. It's manual. It's bright red. And I've had it, I think it's 30 years, because Harvey's...
Oh, wow.
No, hold on. Harv? I can't remember. Harv was 12. How old are you now, son?
37.
Right. 25 years. I've had it for 25 years, and before that, I had a V8 Auto. So I've had all V8s, really. But I love the cars. So
you do, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, I gave up banking and went to work for Pugsley and Lewis. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I get involved with cars daily now. So it's sort of a hobby come...
Well, it's very much in the family of you and Harvey, isn't it, honestly?
Well, yeah, Harvey. Yeah. Poor fellow. You know, I think he came home in a battered V8 when I picked him up from the hospital in those days.
Yeah, well, you've got to get him young, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe he's hooked on that basis. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Winston, Harvey, lovely to speak to you.
I'll see you soon.
All right, see you soon. All right.
Best.
Bye. Cheers. Okay, I'm in the Vanquish display area, and I'm trying to find some Vanquish people. Are you Vanquish owners?
Yeah. I'm a Vanquish engineer.
You're a Vanquish engineer. Perfect. You've got a moment for the Heritage podcast?
Yes.
Yes, you have. Hello, what's your name, Vanquish engineer?
Hi, I'm Pete McKenzie.
Pete, what do you engineer on?
I was the engineer responsible for resolving all the gearbox issues with the original Vanquish, and I was joined in January 2001 as a CAD engineer originally, and I worked for Aston for 7.5 years.
We had
worked on Vanquishes all the way through.
Perfect, because we had a dinner last night with Ian Minard, and he obviously mentioned the gearbox issues, and the early ones were if they weren't assembled correctly or something like that. It was just a handful, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was a whole range of issues from plaster dust in the some of the original hydraulic lines that caused issues. The original design from the Ford SVO team basically used throttle prots, and we were just talking about the magnetic sensor, which I sort of developed jointly with Tyco to replace those, to make those work better. There was relay sticking. There was a whole bunch of small issues, one of which was there was a whole bunch of issues around the clutch, because the clutch line doesn't circulate the oil properly, so you need to really sort of drain that through every year. But
were these issues captured before the cars went in production?
No,
that was the point.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. It was certainly pressure environment to resolve all of the issues. Yeah. We just heard Ulrich Betts. Of course, he had an issue with his one. It broke down at the gate on him on the way in once. So
I heard that. Yes.
So I had to try and sort of resolve that. But there was we were confused initially because there was a lot of faults related to PO805, which was clutch position sensor, and that was completely spurious because it wasn't the clutch position sensor that was at fault. It was all the plaster dust and all the sludge building up in the clutch lines that meant the clutch wasn't opening in the way that it was meant to. So
I think we can have comfort now, 25 years on, or 20 years, you know, since the last Vanquish or whatever. All these issues have been solved now, haven't they?
Yeah, I don't think from... the gearbox itself was originally a Getrag, but then it was a Trumec T56. So that's a really robust, solid gearbox, apart from some of the second gear synchro issues. But parts of that are really easy to get. I think the Vanquish itself has stood the test of time. For me, it's the last real supercar that before electronics took over, because
it was starting to creep in.
Because you've driven one. Yeah. I've driven thousands of miles in these, and I know that these can spit you out if you're not watching, because you know you could get a. I've had a tank slapper in one of these, and then the traction control will eventually sort of recognises, oh, hold on, something's happening. Yeah. Maybe I need to help out here. But meanwhile, you're fighting the car. So it's there's so much power out of these in such a rigid chassis. I say they're an absolute delight to drive. I've been lucky to drive lots of them all over the world. I've driven them in Hong Kong. I've driven them in California, Arizona.
Why is that? Just testing?
I was going out resolving customer issues. So to do that, the easiest is to actually be with the car, with the customer, with the garage, help them resolve those issues. And a lot of it was the original development program as well, for the new sensors, and resolving all the issues was going to all of the various places to make sure that it worked in hot climates, humid climates, wet climates, all of those kind of things. So it's evaluating that was working correct was a key part of the whole program. So Tyco, as I said, developed the sensor for us. Tyco themselves actually said they were amazed at how quick we actually went from a concept through to a finished solution. We did that in 9 months. They were used to dealing with Volkswagen and people like that when it'd take 3 years.
Yeah.
So we turned it around really quickly, but we integrated in the development program, helping to resolve the issues by going out and putting it on customers' cars and resolving it out directly in the field.
Of course, after all these years, it's proven to be durable, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you think, well, yeah, it was very sensitive at the beginning. Yeah. It's going to keep crashing and burning, but it didn't happen.
No, I think it's... I know a lot of people talk about converting them to manual. And for me, one of these, a proper Vanquish set up correctly, the gearbox is a delight, you know. And it's there's nothing better than driving a Vanquish in automatic mode, getting up to about 50 mile an hour and it drops into fifth gear, and then you floor it and it drops down two gears and then takes off like a scalded cat. And you can't beat that. You can't beat that feeling. But no, it's the Vanquish is holds a special place in my heart. I say I looked on them right from the start all the way through to the last ones, and it was they're such a special vehicle for me personally because I was involved. So.
Well, you must be delighted with this. I mean, it's a very impressive lineup of Vanquish, considering it's a relatively niche product.
Yes,
we've got quite a collection here.
Yeah,
haven't
we? Turn out.
No, I've been walking around looking at all the VINs, trying to see which ones I remember. I've got a little red book at home with all the different Vanquishes I went to and worked on and helped try to resolve the issues.
You go to an owner and say, "I remember this car. Yeah. It was nothing but a nightmare."
No, but the important thing was we fixed them all.
Gentlemen, it's been absolutely delightful. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. And go around with your little book and try and identify the cars that you've
sorted. I'm trying to spot them. I'm trying to see which is the earliest vehicle I've seen so far. I think 54 is the earliest I've seen so far, but I'm just doing a VIN check. So try and find one of the early ones.
Thanks very much for your time. Thank you. Bye.
So I've just bumped into a gentleman I met last night called Kevin. Kevin, nice to see you again. And Kevin, it must be quite funny, a bit of a busman's holiday coming here for you today, because you were the CEO, is that right, CEO?
Chair, I was the chair here at the British Motor Museum for 7 years, trustee for 20. Replaced Bob Dover, who, those who know a little bit about the Vanquish will remember him being the chair and chief exec of Aston Martin when the Vanquish was born. So sort of a bit of his car and a good friend of mine. And part of the reason why we bought a Vanquish, it's a beautiful shape, love it. Another good friend of ours is Ian Callum. And the pair of them were so influential in bringing this car to life, we decided it would be important to have one. But it's been great to be here at the British Museum, see all of the Astons today. It's a lovely location, and people I bumped into seem to have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fabulous location. I always love coming here for events. It's just the best venue for us, really. But what a great turnout of Vanquish. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, really? And looking at your car, I mean, this is how I like them. Tungsten silver. It's an earlier first generation Vanquish, not an S, the original model. And I think these are great to drive. I like both types, to be honest with you. But it's also got the black interior. It's got the silver steering wheel. It's got all the right options on it by the looks of it.
Yes, it has. It also has the Lin stereo system, which I haven't quite figured out how to get the best out of yet, but it looks fantastic.
Yeah, they are. I mean, my best advice with the Lin stereo is turn it up and enjoy the music. I had a very memorable trip in one of these when they first come out with my Fleetwood Mac CD playing at full blast. It's a fabulous sound system. I know the engine makes a great noise as well, but you can actually hear that over the top of it. So yeah, fabulous. Really, really amazing. Handmade stereo systems in Scotland for the car. So fabulous thing back in the day, really. Back in the day before really putting high-end audio into cars was a thing, you know. So yeah, what are your plans with the car? What are you hoping to do with it?
We have a small collection of cars, and so it gets to go out to events like this. Love driving it. I know there's been some criticism over the years of the gearbox, but I think it's one of those things that once you understand it and you understand how it works perfectly fine. And it's a lovely thing to drive, and it just sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it really does. It's one of the best sounding cars we've ever made, I think. But enjoy the car, enjoy the surroundings, and we'll see you again.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you.
You're listening to the Aston Martin Heritage Podcast. Discover more about the story of Aston Martin, the cars, the people, the history, with the Aston Martin Heritage Trust. You're always welcome to visit us at our museum in Oxfordshire. So find out more via amht.org.uk.
Just wandering around the trade stands here now at the Aston Martin. Keep saying Heritage Festival, it's not the Owners Club Festival. And one of the supporters of it is Aston Installations. And I have in front of me
James Hawkes-Reed, one of the directors of Aston Installations. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast. So, why are you here?
Showcasing what we do, but also supporting Heritage Trust and AMOC, if I get the right name for everything. But really just seeing what we can do with VH Platform Era, Early Vanquish, showcasing the electronics we do, the maintenance, the upgrades, this sort of thing, yep. Greeting existing clients, and generally having a chat to Aston owners far and wide.
So you said VH, is that your air era?
So yeah, VH Platform, so Vantage,
DB9. So we've got a banner here, so what have we got? So we've got why Installations? Why called Aston Installations?
It was going to be Specialist Aston Installation Services. And then it got all a bit too much of a mouthful.
Yeah,
a bit too much. So in the end, we just said, oh, it's Aston Installations. It does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, we put stuff into Aston's, really. So
okay.
That's it. That's our V8 over in the corner, the silver one. Very good to see on radio recording. Yeah. But it's been our test bed modified with seats or power upgrades or different dashboard, upgraded speakers, that sort of thing. Sam's lovely V8 next to it. And we've got our Vanquish here as well.
Yes, well, it's appropriate for the weekend,
exactly,
isn't it?
But it's things that we can do to it without destroying the fabric of the car. So the aesthetics are still incredibly good. So we try and incorporate things that bring it into a more modern age. So you've got your new Range Rover, Audi, BMW with everything in it. What we want is something that you can enjoy in your older car as well, but bring it bang up to date without changing the aesthetics of it.
What's the most common upgrade? You find
we do an awful lot of Apple CarPlay and Android
Auto. I think
Auto.
Yeah, that is right, isn't it? Yeah.
So but we try and again it can't change the aesthetics, it has to look as part of the car as possible. So certainly with the updated higher definition screen, we're just moving in now to touchscreen for DB11 and Vantage, yeah. Superleggera. That's a new product, we've only had it a couple of days, so we've got to do a lot more development work with it. We've bought a company called Divina Tech. I don't know if you've heard of those before. They do the sequential rear lighting, so it's like a flowing rear light. But it also gives us the ability to repair the condensated rear lights that suffer DB9, Rapide and Vantage and so on and so forth. So we've lots more developments on that. Headlamp technology as well, seeing what we can do with the side lights that fail and the indicators that fail. Through to just more normal servicing maintenance work as well.
Perfect. Where are you based?
Tewkesbury, Gloucestershire, just off Junction 9.
I think we met at Aston Martin Bristol, haven't we?
Yes, we did. When you were Signet based.
When I was Signet, we're still Signet based.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And as soon as you do an Apple upgrade for the Signet, it'll be right over because that sat nav in that Signet.
It was of a time. I think it was of a time.
It was rubbish at the time.
What I'd like to do is to have one in, and with our colleague over here, Sam, who's heavily into his 3D printing, we can actually make a mounting for an iPhone or Android instead and tie that into the existing system. So rather than having a sat nav that's out of date when you buy it, is actually have something that's going to be updated.
Well, I'll be happy to bring mine over. You can have it over.
Yeah, be delighted to.
So where do people find you? You're Tewkesbury, Bristol. What about you,
Tewkesbury, Bristol. We're based in Tewkesbury. So website, all the W's, astoninstallations.com.
Right.
Social media, Aston Installs.
You're on all channels, social media?
All channels of social media. So, yeah, just look up Aston Installations and you will find us somewhere.
Okay, James, that's great. Thanks very much.
No problem.
And thanks for your time and I'll see you soon.
Indeed.
All right, thank you. Right. That was great. I'm just going to move over here. I'm going to. He's waving at me. I found a friendly face. Here we go. My old friend, Tim Butcher, as I live and breathe. How are you, sir?
Very well indeed. Good afternoon, Gary.
How are you doing? All right.
We're doing very well. Just eating lunch.
You know, a typical half time. Yeah, it's gone a bit quiet now. Plenty of cars here still, but I think everyone's having lunch.
I think they are. The museum's full of people, so all sitting down to have a bite to eat. But yeah, great selection of cars.
You've got a lovely marquee here. It's out the sun, isn't it?
It's great.
I think I'm.
Yeah, we've had a lot of traffic on here to get out.
This may be a long interview, isn't it?
yeah. There's been a lot.
I'm staying here.
A nice steady flow of people coming in to see what we do and how we do it, and shelter from the sun a bit.
So you've been a podcast regular before, so just reminding new listeners, because we're getting new ones all the time, Trinity Engineering, what do you do?
We are specialists in the service and restoration of Aston Martin cars from 1950 to 2018, so the VH1 platform cars.
That's quite a broad church, isn't it?
It's a broad church, gives us a lot of scope. Yeah. It's a lot of variety, it's interesting.
Because you have owners that have, you know, one, two, three or four cars, and they probably want you to, you know, do a couple of eras, and can you deal with it?
It's surprising how many owners have a heritage car and a modern car as well.
When I've been going around doing some of the podcasts, they say, well, I've got this new car and I've got a, you know, V600 in this case, I spoke to somebody earlier.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's nice, and it shows that people are brand loyal and you know, they love the heritage side, and they may have a DB5 or a DB4, and tucked away in the garage they've got a DB9 or a DBS.
Yeah.
Anything and we look after both.
Anything special in the workshop at the moment?
Ooh, we've got
I think the last time I saw you when we did the interview, you had a four or five under restoration.
Yeah, DB...
It was an etch primer.
DB4 we've just completed. Yeah. A DB24 we've just completed.
Oh, okay.
We've got a DB5 convertible that we retrieved from a barn in Wales that had been in storage for 50 years. And that's now just going into colour. So hopefully we'll have that here next year to display.
Oh, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, in its original Caribbean pearl with blue interior, exactly as the owner's father had it when he was new.
Yeah. How long has Trinity been going for? Well, you.
This is our 27th year. So pretty much as long as the trust, I think. I think
both formed in the same year. And both looking very youthful and sprightly.
Indeed.
Yes. I'll keep that in.
Well, I started the business when I was 12, so...
Fortunately, dear listener, there was no video on this one, but I'll take Tim's word for this. You supported most of these festivals, and nearly all of them, actually, haven't you?
We've been to all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been to all of them. We're a staunch supporter of the Trust and the Club.
Yeah.
Been to all of them, and here we are displaying what we do as a company. We service, restore, enhance all elements of Aston Martin, whether it be restoration, whether it be engine building, whether it be chassis overhauls, trimming, or just simple refurbishments. We do the whole lot, and have done ever since we started, and we're here today to display everything that we do, so to give owners the broad spectrum of what you can do and what you ultimately must do to an Aston Martin to keep it in tip-top condition.
You mentioned enhancements, because we've covered this before when we did a Trinity podcast, which is, I don't know, a while back now. You're quite passionate about this. There's enhancements and enhancements, isn't there? There's modifications which tend to go against the spirit of the car. You're against that, aren't you? Well, not against it.
It's not what Trinity stands for.
No.
We are very much the preservation and the enhancement of the mark, not the outright modification.
Yes.
There's lots of things that people do, and you know, everybody's free as an owner to do what they want.
Yeah.
But the Trinity principle is keep it as standard as possible, because that's where, firstly, the value of the car is. And you know, you're keeping it original, true to its original specification, which is important to us.
So you say 27 years in Trinity, so sort of sniffing around of a 30-year celebration. It might be a bit of way off, but...
It's on the cards.
Yeah.
We did a 20-year celebration.
Sort of fits in with your 40th birthday, so...
I wish. But no, we're doing a 30th celebration.
Yeah.
We did 20 and 25, so 30 only seems right.
Yeah.
So we only got, we've got till...
It comes around quick, mate.
2029.
Yeah.
That will be it, and that will be 30 years. And it's flown by.
All right, Tim, great speaking to you.
Likewise.
I'm going to have to move out of your... This is lovely and cool under
it's
here.
Lovely
it's
lovely under
it's
here.
It's a surprise you've got a breeze here.
Yep.
It's a nightmare out there. So nice to see you.
Likewise.
And... we'll have you on the podcast this time next year.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much. Bye.
You take care.
I've just found Steve Waddingham. He's on a walkabout with a huge microphone.
Yeah.
I'm just going to gate crash this.
Oh, here we go.
Hello. You're live on Channel 4.
I swear then.
No. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Are you?
Yeah, I'm good. You've been catching a few stories for the podcast. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been walking around looking at all these lovely cars, actually. We've been looking at the pre-war cars, right the way through the one Feltham car we've got here, then through the DB5 6s with 456, through to the V8s, and right the way up to current stuff, really.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. All right. Well, I've grabbed a few stories. Some can't go out in the podcast. I can use them for blackmail later.
Yes, well, always right, handy. Right. Yeah.
How's Douglas doing with his trolley?
Douglas is doing a great job dragging that trolley round.
Yeah.
And this works. This technology works, doesn't it? So good. I love this pit lane walk type thing that we do. So
yeah.
Hopefully the audience is enjoying it as well.
I do like Martin Brundle goes on about it because it's very easy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly.
All right, you crack on.
See you in a bit, Gary.
All right. That was good to speak to Steve. He's on. He's going around talking to people, doing the stories with the about the cars. He's got a mobile microphone, so excellent news. Now I'm just trying to. It's all calmed down a bit now. Still plenty of cars here, so I'm going to try and find another victim if I can, and have a few words with them. Okay, now still wandering around the Vanquish displays. We've got some with some bonnets up. Been just showing off the engines, really. Hello. Hello, people. Hello, Gary Taylor, Aston Martin Heritage Podcast.
Hi there, yes.
You got a few moments just to talk about your cars. Why is the bonnet up? Are you polishing?
Why is the bonnet up?
Why is the bonnet up? Are you showing off?
Because it looks like it does. That's why.
What's your name?
Have a look at Christopher.
Christopher Stephen. It's an impressive size.
Find me another one that looks like this.
Yeah.
I bet you won't.
Well, it's quite unusual.
Being modest.
Because this is a 2001 to 2004.
Yeah.
Yet it's got S covers.
Oh, okay.
So that's mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see my covers are grey.
Yeah.
These are silver. So
yes,
if you have a look at an S, it's got this cover. So this is, I don't know where those have come from.
Okay. All right. How long you had this?
I only bought it last September, actually.
Oh, right. Have you always wanted one?
Yes. I had this, my third Aston, but a Vanquish was always a particular model I desired, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. They're a bit of an acquired taste, mind, aren't they?
Yeah, but if you know how to drive them,
if
you actually do know how to drive them, yes, it's brilliant.
And it's not, you know, it's not rocket science, just a slight change, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think in the early days, as cars were sold to the second and third generation of people, the information of how to drive them wasn't passed on.
We had this at the dinner last night. We talked about the Vanquish and said the dealers were told, but
it
effectively just threw you the keys and off you went.
Yeah.
Not being dismissive like that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So people are far more aware now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we look at your car?
Yeah, sure.
Right, we're just going to pass away. Mike, you can. Thank you, Michael.
So this is a one of one.
One of one.
With a certificate.
Yeah, from Tim Cottenham.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've got a signature there.
That, do you recognise it?
Ian Callum?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got him to sign it a few years back.
Well, how are you going to stop that fading? I'm not sure.
Well, it's been there for 4 years, five years.
Okay, that's all
right.
It's a marker pen,
so, you know, I always clean around it. So I've concoursed it.
Yeah.
As you can see, it's pretty clean. But a couple of interesting points about it. First, it's Chiltern Green, which is a pretty rare colour.
Yes.
There's no other Chiltern Green here.
Right.
Secondly, it's got the SDP wheels, which means it's an SDP. This one is one of, I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but there were 94 made, of which around about, you guys have the numbers, around about 40, I think, were off the production line. And the rest were upgrades.
Yeah.
So this was a 2002 model upgraded.
Okay.
With the SDP.
Yep.
So there's only 94 in the world. Also, on the inside, it's got a rather unusual accessory.
I just noticed. So tell a listener about this.
Well, I don't know much more about it other than the fact that it costs about £5,000 and it's burr walnut.
Yeah, because it's usually aluminium.
I've not seen any other car with one, so it's pretty unusual.
It gets away with it, doesn't it? It works.
This was not off. Yeah, it does work. It's not off the production line, so this was an upgrade after it was
That's very nice, I think, because as they were moving away from the woody side of things,
DB7
had some as an option.
But the quality is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
It's just beautifully made.
How long you had her?
Oh, 10 years now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
forever polishing.
You know, well, yes,
forever
a polishing. Lot of that,
and lifting bonnets. The shirt.
I was interested in some of the effects that he's got in his engine. So I was comparing his mine because I know his is first, you know, the sort of early version, and he had different covers, and I was trying to figure out why, and I was showing him mine versus his, and he didn't know that they were different.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Mike, you got a moment?
Yes, yeah.
Right, Mike Atkinson, volunteer museum host. So what we're going to do, we're going around the owners, but the Heritage Trust have actually bought some of their own vanquishes, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah. So do you want to talk us through what we bought?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of cutaway models here. First one, which you know a little bit more about, is Gen 1, Series 1, sometimes referred to. And it's great at showing you really what's under the skin.
It is quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, the car was, as a project, approved by Ford, not necessarily to be a huge financial success, but to really show the way and lead technology. And that's under Ford's ownership at the time. Aston were a perfect company to be able to do that. So there's so much for its time that was really way ahead of a lot of whatever else was going on in the car world. So from a chassis point of view, working with Lotus, there's use of several areas of carbon fibre, composite panels, traditional aluminium panels. So it's really light years ahead in terms of the technology, certainly that Aston were using, but actually that...
Yes, because before this, it was the V cars and the Newport Pagnell, and the Bloxham was the DB7.
Yeah.
Very conventional construction.
Yes, yeah, very traditional and beautiful cars themselves. And of
absolutely,
course,
yeah.
DB7 brought the first... version of the first use of the V12, the Cosworth-built V12. But the Vanquish, the first generation, really was a project to show the world, actually help move Aston onto a world market, a world stage. The limitations with a couple of the V8 models at the time were not type approved for UK, I think, sorry, for US, I think, because of emissions. So this was actually an opportunity to, A, build something that would be a world player, but also build something that really led the way. So the cutaway is fantastic for...
It's a piece of art in itself, isn't it? I know Claire, the collections manager, is forever polishing it.
Yeah, but yeah.
It's a bugger for fingerprints, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the aluminium, not very forgiving.
No.
But, it's just fantastic to get under the skin of it and really see the detail that most of the time, most of us would never see.
So, we've got this carbon fibre generation 2.
Yeah.
So who knows about this? Is it Dom?
Dom would know most.
Dom? So it's trying to find Dom. You know something about this generation 2, don't you?
I do know something about
generation 2. Okay. Dom, introduce yourself, Dom.
So I'm Dom from the Aston Martin Heritage Trust and do most of the museum tours.
He does most of the museum tours, and if you go on TripAdvisor, you are a bit of a star. You get a lot of positive reviews, don't you?
Apparently, yeah. No, there's no accounting for taste.
It's from your mum and your
yeah,
wife.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, must anyway. Stop, tell the family to stop doing that. Okay. Yeah, so the second generation of Vanquish was quite a breakout from what they'd done before. It's the first road-going Aston Martin with fully carbon fibre bodywork on top of its VH aluminium tub. And it was quite a groundbreaker. They improved the performance of the engine. All sorts of fancy bits and pieces you could have in addition to the normal standard fitments. You could easily push the price of one of these to £250,000, which my background was selling them, so I'd seen people do it. But fabulous driving car. The latter one's got an 8-speed gearbox, but the earlier ones have got a 7, and they're lovely. Features a really exciting sport mode button when you really know when you've pressed
it.
The noise increases drastically and so does the performance. But yeah, they were so well received. It's lovely, lovely styling. I think it's one of the prettiest things. Personally, if I had the money to buy an Aston of this sort of generation, it would be a 2012 onwards Vanquish, I think. They're lovely.
Because when the Vanquish first came out, think, well, not a million miles different from the DBS or the DB9, but actually when you see it now in isolation,
it's everything
car.
From the interesting boot spoiler to the splitters at the front, the style of it. It was the first car they offered with a carbon fibre roof, which you could have, and half of that was really letting people know that your car was made of carbon fibre.
Yeah.
Quite good fun. We used to charge people extra not to paint the carbon fibre. Aston always spot an opportunity. But yeah, they were brilliant cars, beautifully put together. Virtually everybody that test drove one that thought they wanted one bought one. Which is a testament to the cars and their quality.
Well, it's an impressive display of the Gen 2 here, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, they're an extremely durable thing. Of course, they've got the almost bulletproof V12 in them.
Yeah.
And they'd improved it a little bit, but it didn't take much. It's such a good thing. So, yeah, I love them. They're really good fun, even today.
So when are these cars going in the museum? I think Mike said...
End of July,
yeah, as it changed the display.
Yeah.
They're both going to be in there?
Yeah, both of these. And another one we're lucky enough to have. We've got a white Volante, which is a complete road car. It's the sort of pre-production car they sent around all the dealerships for the dealership open nights.
Yeah.
You know, this VIP preview car, as it was known. But yeah, great thing and really good fun talking people around them.
You enjoy doing that? The host, don't you? The music?
Yeah, enormously. Really rewarding. And, you know, the other sides of it, the educational side of it is very important, trying to get youngsters into the automotive industry. That really works well. And we've got a bit of a coup. We can now refer youngsters to the Aston Martin Formula One team for two weeks' work experience.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Oh,
a young
okay.
lady called Abby kindly gave us all her details and how to do it. And there's a certain age gap. Unfortunately, 62 seems to be a bit old for the age gap. Because I applied straight away.
I'm sure if we could work on it.
Yeah,
know,
I would have thought so. Yeah, just
trousers
yeah
on
exactly.
And,
yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
He's gone a bit,
hat on back to front.
Back
you
to
know.
Front. He's big for his age.
Unfortunately,
we find a mum take us, can't we?
We did send a young lad along who's about 6'4" and a young farmer. And he said, "Do you think there'd be a place for me?" I said, "Well, they need somebody to change the wheels." Yeah, you're the man. But yeah, no, it's fabulous. It's really rewarding working within the museum. Love it. And obviously encourage everybody along to come and see us in Drayton St Leonard.
In Drayton St Leonard, yeah. Yeah, perfect. Well, if you want to come along to the museum, all you have to do is you have to book www.amht.org.uk. All the information's there, and book your slot, and you have a museum tour with usually with Dom.
Yeah, usually myself or one of the team. Yeah. We're all good at doing tours.
Yeah,
we open the occasional Saturday. They book up really quickly, so keep an eye because a lot of weekends we'll be doing stuff like this, getting out there and promoting what Aston did, what we do. You know, it's really important.
I think the tours is a. It's an important thing because it's a small museum. Let's not be shy.
No,
it's a small museum.
It's not a big space.
And if you're going in there expecting the British Motor Museum, you're going to go, But the important thing, although it's a relatively small museum, in a lovely setting, there's a lot of stories in there. So you and the average, you go around and you say, well, look at this lump of wood or this trophy, and there's a story behind that.
Yeah, bringing it to life
bringing
is
it
really
to life,
important.
Because that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah. And we have had, I think we had one bad review in the last 6 months, and it was a guy.
I'm sorry
about
that.
Yeah, well, you know, I shouldn't have let you in. But no, there's a guy who looked it up on some interesting foreign website, and he was expecting 125 cars. And he'd actually gone to the wrong venue to start with. So he actually wondered. Yeah. So, yeah, there's no accounting for what's going to happen. But, yeah, generally the feedback's great. And we really welcome it. We welcome visitors.
Car club tours are doing well now.
Oh, amazing. Between now and the end of September, we've got 18 booked. So, yeah, it's
there
pretty
you go.
Amazing.
All right.
The word's out there, but spread it some more,
spread
Gary,
it some
with
more.
Your podcast.
Podcast. Yeah. All right, Dom.
Yeah.
Thanks very much,
good
mate.
Good to speak to you.
Go back to your kennel and sell some stuff. Yeah.
Go and see Nurse now.
Here's a gentleman that looks very relaxed next to his car with a sandwich and a... Yours is the next one. Okay, we found a space here. So, you're not next to your car. It's the next one along, so it's the blue one, yeah?
The blue one, yeah, V12S, yeah.
V12S. How long you had that?
Thanks. I've only just got it. A couple of months.
Okay, great. Sorry, I didn't catch your name, but I didn't ask your name.
Alan Tice, yeah.
Alan, okay. A couple of months?
Yeah, yeah. I had a V12S before it. Always wanted a Vanquish S, but being honest, I didn't want black or silver. Which
well,
is what
makes it hard, doesn't it?
It does make it very hard.
So you said you had an Aston before that?
Oh, I've had various Astons,
various
yeah.
Astons, various yeah. Astons, yeah. All right, so...
I've still got an 11 AMR as well.
Have you? Yeah. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Very nice car. Very
that's the V12 version, isn't
it? Yeah, I do like V12s. That's the thing. Not a great... had a lot of V8s, but prefer the V12.
Do you know Charles Porter? Have you heard of him? He's got a V12 fetish as well. He just likes the V12s.
Yeah. They're lovely engines. I mean, he cruised up here today, 75. No, obviously being sensible.
75 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, of course. 1600 revs. I mean, the car's just not nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Go abroad on it? Are we going to go abroad?
No, done that. I used to race for a living, so I've been abroad that one.
You used to race for a living?
Yeah.
Well, come on, expand on that.
Well, I used to race endurance racing in Europe, in the Marcuses, and then I also did touring cars, BMWs, Minis, all sorts of things.
All right, so you've had enough of Europe.
I've had enough of Europe. Until COVID, that's what ruined it. Obviously, after that, we couldn't move, and then rules and regulations, and I had a lovely time doing that. Yeah, lovely.
So you're
time.
Enjoying the UK?
Yeah.
Lovely warm weather
lovely
now.
Warm weather.
You're going to need to put your hood up, aren't you?
No.
No?
Enough wind.
Well, you're a racer, hard man, aren't you?
Hard man. Yeah.
Hood down.
Just go for it.
Thanks very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You.
So just wandering around and hello. You look friendly. Are you friendly?
I am always friendly.
What's your name?
Charlie Churchill.
Hello.
Here I have the 2008 Vanquish S that's also undergone a Aston Martin Works conversion, manual conversion. So it has the 6-speed manual gearbox.
All right. So what made you go for that wider conversion?
I've actually had two. So the history of this is that I had a 2007 Vanquish S with the standard automatic shift manual gearbox, and I had a bad incident with a corner, a wet road and a curb, which meant that car was a total write-off.
So are you all right?
I'm perfectly fine. I was discharged about 4 or 5 hours later, so the carbon fiber A-pillar, by my reckoning, is well worth it. I then had the opportunity of picking up something different, and went to Nicholas Mee, and they happened to have a manual there, and I was very happy with it and went for it, and a week later I picked up the car.
Lovely. Haven't seen any manual conversions around at the show. I think you might be some others knocking around. They seemed quite popular at the time.
Yeah, they seem to be quite rare. I don't think there are any official numbers, but I think they're sort of 90, 100, 110 so that have been done. Yeah, so you don't see them that often.
Better drive for you, is it?
I love both of them. I love the automated manual. I happen to enjoy this one more.
Well, that's always about it. It's what works for you, what you enjoy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How long you had this car?
I've had it since about November, so...
Eight,
9 months or so.
Any plans for it? Any tours?
I took it to Ice in Samaritz earlier on this year, and then we're going to Le Mans Classic in a few weeks' time, and I think this might be the choice.
I think it would be, yeah. Thanks very much for your
time.
Thank you. OK, don't worry, listener. That's not a Vanquish with a bearing problem. It's an ice cream van. I'm just going to try and find another Vanquish owner or Aston Martin enthusiast here at the Aston Martin Owners Club Festival. I was about to say heritage. Bad habits, eh? So let's see what we can do. Ah, here we go. Hello, are you Liz?
Yes, I am.
I'm Gary from the Aston Martin Heritage Trust podcast. Hello. Is this your lovely Vanquish?
It is indeed, yes.
Perfect. How long you had it?
Well, this one I've only had for just over a year. But it's going to be it's my fourth, but it will be my last because I love her dearly.
I hear that a lot with some people actually, to buy it and things. So you say you're fourth?
Fourth Aston.
Fourth Aston.
Yes, three Vantages and then this one. But this is the one I've always wanted. So, yeah.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? It's a
question of who dies first, really.
Okay, right. So what's the spec of it? It's
Well, have a look. I mean, it's everything. She's 2013. As I understand it, I was told when I bought her, but I can't prove this, that she was the first of the Volantes to be built.
Yes.
And it was built for somebody in Aston, and I imagine it was why it's a very luxurious finish inside of all the quilted leather and everything.
Let's have a look. It's like, the colour's red. What's the
It's Volcano Red.
Volcano Red, and it's a...
I can't remember the name of that, I'm afraid.
It's a cream interior, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, with some red something red.
Red highlights, stitching.
Stitching, that's right.
And you're dressed in red as red
oh,
and
well, yes,
you're
that
red
is
and
not,
white.
Not accidental.
Not accidental. No.
Wherever I go, I match my car. I even went to a ball with Amok 16 the other week, and I found at the back of my cupboard a lovely silk full-length ball gown, and it just happened to be exactly the same colour as my car, so I had to wear it, didn't I? I'm delighted with the car. She's extremely easy to drive, an absolute joy to drive, and I love it. I mean, after many years of life, I find I've got exactly what I want, and there's nothing I can to aspire to now. It's perfect for me.
So you had some advantages beforehand.
I had three advantages,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and... were they Gaydon ones?
They were all 2012 or 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't perfect. The first one was a coupe. I mean, for a start, I should never have bought a coupe, but it was a very pretty car, and I bought it on the basis of looks, which is pretty much the same spec as this. But then when it was a manual, and I didn't mind that. I like manuals, but it didn't want to go forward or backwards or up a hill. It was quite contrary.
Well, that's awkward.
It is quite awkward. So she didn't last very long, and I swapped her for a black. What do they call them? Roadsters when they're Vantages.
Yes.
And that was a nice car, but again, I thought black was a bit dreary. And then I found a blue and grey one, which is actually really nice, and I intended to keep her. But then this one came up on. Car Guru, and it was a private sale, and that was a hell of a big leap for me, you know, old lady V12 car, really. Are you serious?
I think you do yourself a disservice there, Barnett. Yeah.
Hmm?
I think you do yourself a disservice there.
Well, it's a lot of car, isn't it, to buy?
Well, it is, yeah.
So anyway, I thought, well, this is it, and if I
well, you can't take it with you, can you?
No, exactly. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
My daughter said to me, "Well, if you don't fritter your money away, Mum, I will." So I thought, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Wherever I go, I mean, I go to lots of meets and things, and I'd come from Kent, and I'd go down with Amok 16 down to Eastbourne and or along the coast,
yeah.
And I think I've done three or four trips down there this summer already, and I enjoy those, and she's just the perfect car to do it. She doesn't think so. My car, she talks to me, and she says she keeps kept in a... carport, and I go down and she said, "Well, so where are we going today? Please, can we go to the south of France?" Is what she says to me.
Yeah, does she?
Yeah.
And your reply is,
"We're going to Rutum."
Okay.
So I mean, people worry that it might go seriously wrong, and I put the roof down all the time. And
I was just about to say, are you a roof down person?
Oh, absolutely. You never ever
dark
seen
glasses.
Me. No.
And oh, okay.
Just
oh, could be an Audrey Hepburn sort of wafting along.
I wish, yes, no dark glasses, but okay. I do always have the roof down. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. I see no point in going to the expense and trouble of having a Volante if you're not actually going to use it. So I always have the roof. I mean, it's just lovely. Why not do it? There's no disadvantage, isn't it?
No disadvantage. You can put the aircon on just to provide a bit of coolness.
Yeah. And heat, and so, in the winter, I...
So is it going to be roofed down back to Kent?
It is indeed.
Thank you, Liz, and I wish you a safe journey
Thank
back.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Hello, can I trouble you? Aston Martin Heritage Podcast, hello.
Hello.
I'm Gary Taylor. Your name?
My name is Paul.
And your name?
Sam.
Hello, Paul and Sam. Hi.
Morning.
Is this your first festival?
It is our first festival, yes. And our first Aston.
Your first Aston, perfect. All right, so it's the one next to you. Tell the listener what it is.
It's a 2018 model. It's a Vantage Coupe. V8 magnetic silver is the colour.
It's a lovely colour, isn't it? And black wheels and black interior.
Yes. It does stay in the garage, but we do love to get out. So we've been on the NC500 with it.
Oh, okay. How was that? Was that busy?
Busy with motorhomes.
Yeah, I hear about the NC500, yeah. But you'll be able to get past them quick enough.
You can get past them quick. We've been around the Evo Triangle and the Black Mountains in Wales with it. We've been over to France. We've been to Switzerland, Luxembourg and Italy and Germany in it. So
you've got to use these cars, haven't you?
You do. And they're lovely to drive. Once you're behind the wheel, they look wide, but once you're behind the wheel, they just seem to, you know...
I respect people that, you know, they buy their cars and they hardly use them, but you're saving it for the next owner. I'm not quite getting it.
No. I've wanted one ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah.
Took me 50 years to buy one. So
it's going to be a bit of a keeper now, is it?
It's a keeper, yeah. Unless the man over there with that lovely green, dark green with the bronze wheels.
Oh, yes, the new Vanquish.
The Vanquish, unless he wants to do a swap.
Well, when you have that conversation, if I can come along with you and see how it goes, that'll be great. Sam, what do you think to the car?
It's very nice, yeah.
Have you been on tours with your dad?
No.
No, he leaves you behind us,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mum or my brother normally, you know, take priority. But
what cars did you have before this?
I had a Audi RS4.
Oh, I'm sorry, never mind, we'll carry on.
Yes.
nice car, to be fair.
It was a nice car. Well, last of the naturally aspirated V8s.
Yeah.
I actually loved it to bits. And when this came along, I wasn't sure, but this is a different car from that, and I still love that.
Oh, isn't it? Totally different. It's lovely speaking to you, Paul. All right, thanks so much. Thanks, Sam. Bye.
Hey, Gary.
Who's just called me? Charles Porter, as I live and breathe. Okay. We got some, you hear some squealing in the background. It's not an Aston Brakes, I think it's a microphone. It's calmed down now. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, nice, warm enough for you.
Just about, yeah. I've heard you. Thunderflies.
I've heard you bought some cars.
Yeah, these three.
These three? Is your Signet here?
No, the only one I haven't bought is the Signet today.
Well, because that's one of Concours, isn't it?
It's just one of Concours.
Yeah.
And I think after driving it there and back from Hammock, I didn't want to drive it again.
These are lovely. I think we mentioned before that you go for the V12s, don't you?
I do like V12s manuals as well, these two.
Yeah.
And obviously the famous four-door one.
Rapide, nicely gorgeous, aren't they? Did that one of Concours at the...
Austria, yeah. And we were the people that had the windscreen wipers go on the motorway near Stuttgart. And the battery failed at the Concours venue, and my new battery turned up in a £500,000 Vanquish the next day. So,
good service for you, isn't it?
Absolutely fantastic.
I remember seeing you polishing this. I say polishing your wife.
Well, yes,
she
yes.
had the cotton buds doing
she
the exhaust.
She had the cotton buds, yes, doing the doing all the exhaust and bits. So.
You got the Concours bug, haven't you?
Yeah, I think we had. I think I'm done now because all four have done it. So.
Oh, it's showing off a bit, isn't it?
It is really.
Give someone else a chance.
No, I just want to now use them.
Yeah.
I want to see flies.
Do you use the cars?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly this one's done quite a few, obviously, you know, trips to Europe.
Yeah.
We're just off to France next month, but we're going to take the Vantage.
What's the appeal for you for the V12s over perhaps a V8?
It's just an effortless car to tour in. You know, it just eats up journeys. And just a great sound. I mean, absolutely fantastic sound.
So we got the V12 Vantage.
Yeah.
This one here is the...
DBS V12 manual.
DBS V12 manual. And we got the Rapide AMR. Tell the listener, what's the... So all V12s,
yep.
Various states of tune, different driving characteristics. So you wake up in the morning.
Okay.
You know, so how do you feel sometimes what you want to take?
Yeah, well, I get asked quite a lot which one's your favourite. And it really is like, you know, sort of picking your kids.
Well, that's quite easy, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I've got one. driving the Vantage, I feel it's an Aston Martin you wear because it's obviously the smallest car with the biggest engine. Very much, you know, very sporty. You know, but again, a great, you know, car to do long distance.
They're surprisingly able to Vantages for
very,
touring
very
cars,
able.
Aren't they?
And also because it's a hatchback, you can get a lot of stuff in
you
it.
Can, can't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. DBS, not practical at all on a long journey because it's got a, you know, it's got a small boot. This, to me, though, is bought with the heart. You know, bought with the head, because I think these are going to be very, 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 very valuable
I think,
in years
to come. I think you're right.
Especially as a manual.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and a Bond car twice. The Rapide, just GT journey eater.
Isn't
you know,
it?
Absolutely.
Such an underrated car. I think it's starting to be appreciated by people, but
there's a lot of
car for the money.
Yeah, and in the AMR form as well, there's only 47 in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're getting snapped up off, you know, off market now.
Yeah.
You know, people are waking up to them. So, yeah, it's... great cars, all of them, but all different to drive, and all enjoyable in their own ways.
You need to stop polishing. You need to start enjoying now.
I do enjoy them. I do. I do. Yeah.
Or you need staff to polish it. Well,
exactly.
Charles, nice to speak to you.
And you. All cheers, right. Gary. Take care.
You're listening to the Aston Martin Heritage Podcast. Discover more about the story of Aston Martin, the cars, the people, the history, with the Aston Martin Heritage Trust. You're always welcome to visit us at our museum in Oxfordshire. So find out more via amht.org.uk.